41. The Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again tonight, and service we had this morning, and the time we've had to come together tonight as your people in fellowship with one another, laugh and enjoy each other's company. Lord, I pray now that you meet with us. Be with us during this preaching service, Lord. We'll be attentive to your word, Lord, and that you'll speak to our hearts. We'll commit the outcome into your hands and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I looked at this text, and it's been a while. I've preached on it before, probably, but it's been a long time. And you know, last Sunday night, we had our business meeting, and we had a little discussion about, if you weren't here, we had a little discussion about offerings and love offerings and things like that. And, you know, I thought about some things after we got done talking about that, because I think somebody had made a comment that, you know, sometimes it seemed like that the offerings might be a little bit too much. And that stuck in my head for some reason, and I really thought about it, and I asked myself this question, and I wanted to ask you this question: is it possible to give too much to God's cause? It's not possible. It's an impossibility to give too much to God's cause. Right over in Luke chapter 6, I got several verses I'm going to look at, hopping around a little bit. Probably hold your place there, though, if you turn, or you can just listen to me. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says this, a familiar verse to us. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And you know, I thought about that. Boy, that's a great verse, because it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." And it said, "For the same measure that you give or you meet withal or that you give out, it shall be measured to you again." And that's a promise from God. And you know, throughout my Christian life, as you know, being in church, being saved, being in a couple churches, and you know, pastoring, and there's always some folks, it seems, like that are always financially strapped. You know, they always just kind of barely making it or barely not making it or whatever. And I kind of wondered about that, and I wondered if this wasn't the area right here in their life that where the problem existed. Because it says, by the same measure that you give out, that God will give back.
Amen.
And then he said he would give without measure, pressed down, shaken. That's like when they filled up when you fill up a sack and you can kind of shake it and get it all, and you can get a little bit more in there. And it makes me, you know, wondered about that as far as giving. So I looked at this text tonight, and we look at this widow woman, and she gave two mites, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And we can see what, just 3 points tonight on what God thinks about our giving. Now, the very first point that we look at tonight in our text, Mark chapter 12, verse 41, is that God cares about our giving. Look what it said in verse 41. And you know, the amazing thing about the Bible, this is what I love. As I listen to other preachers preach sometime, and I've had people say this to me, they'll say, you know, I read a verse and stuff, and then maybe I'll preach on it. And they say, man, I never saw that, or how did you get that? And I'll hear somebody else preach, and I'll think, man, they're picking, you know, because sometimes we emphasize the real things that are prominently stick out. Like in this text, it might be the widow and the fact that she gave two mites and the fact that she was poor. But look what it said right off the bat in verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. I like to just stop at beheld. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld. In other words, he looked at what the people put in the treasury. He observed it. I read this story. This is a true story about a pastor that on a Sunday morning came around, and it was time to take up the offering, and the ushers were going down the aisle. The pastor came out of the pulpit, and he walked up and down the aisle, and he was kind of looking. He was watching the plate go down each aisle. And he watched everybody kind of putting their money in as it kind of came down through the aisle. Now, what kind of reaction do you think that the people had, a lot of the people that had, when they saw that? Some of the people were kind of astonished. Some of the people were angry. They were mad. I had somebody say to me one time when we were taking up love offerings, because I was standing up here at the pulpit still looking, you know, that some of the people it might bother somebody that I'm watching, even though I can't see what you're doing. I know how many times you can wad a dollar bill up. I mean, you know, Baptists hold a world record for folding a dollar bill. You can get her folded up pretty many times. Huh? And they were, you know, some of the people, they were upset about that. But as soon as it was over, the pastor came up to the pulpit and he said, "If you take to heart that I have seen your offerings today, remember that the Savior goes about the aisles with every usher and sees every cent put into the collection by his people."
Amen.
Hey. Amen. Yeah. You got those cricket sounds you can play right about now? Of all the people that put money in the treasury in our text, there's only one person that impressed Jesus. And of all the people in the Bible mentioned, I thought about one other person kind of in the back of my mind, and it was a little different situation. But of all the people over the years, there's only one for sure, maybe two people that Jesus even mentioned that he was impressed by their giving. Of all the people that gave, and this is one of the ones, the main one probably, in the Bible. And you wonder about this, why is God interested in our giving? I'll tell you why. Because God has a plan for our giving. Now, God has a plan for what we give. Now, God's plan for giving is the tithe. We talk about that. And you know, and I'll give you a little something, a background on it in a minute. And, you know, I think this, and I've said this, and I mentioned it during our business meeting the other night. This is what I believe. I think this will work anywhere in any business, in church, wherever. If everybody, if all of God's people paid a tithe, and a tithe is 10%. If you got a question on where the 10% comes from, it's off the top before the IRS, because you always give God what's first. You never give God leftovers. It's always first. If God's people tithe, if God's people gave 10%, we'd never have to take a love offering. We'd never have to do, somebody came, some of the newer people that came here asked me, one of the ladies said, "Do you do faith promise?" No, I don't do faith promise. That's a plan that some churches do. They get a faith promise. They go around to you, "How much you promise to give to mission? How much you promise to give to mission?" And okay, we sit down at the business meeting and say, "Okay, the church promised this much that they're going to give for missions," and then we take on missionaries according to what you guys promised. I don't do it. Because I think God's plan is this, that if we all tithe, that the church tithe, we can pay the missionaries. You can run the church. You pay the pastor. You can pay all the other preachers that come. You can do it off the tithe. That's God's plan. And that, you know, that's what we need to stick to. That's what we need to do. Now, some people say this, well, and technically this is true in a way, because we're under grace and not under law. Now, under grace, the Bible says this, that we give according to how God has prospered us.
That's right.
Now, tithe is a good starting place. It is. But some people say, well, you know, the tithe is mentioned in the Old Testament, and that's under the law. But guess what? Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek 400 years before the law was written. He gave tithes, 10%, before the law. That was a good plan, 10%. I know there's stories of people like J.C. Penney and the guy that owned the Caterpillar Corporation that gave, one of them, I can't remember which one, it might have been J.C. Penney, 90% of what he made he gave to God, and lived on 10%, and he was a billionaire. Woo-wee. Huh? You can't outgive God, but that was the plan. And so a tithe was given before the law ever was. Abraham gave it. Now, you know, some people don't like to hear about tithing. They don't like you to preach about tithing. I don't preach on it very often, probably not often enough. But here's the thing about it. People don't like to hear about tithing. Some people don't. I don't mind hearing about tithing. You know why? Because we tithe, we more than tithe. But here's what happens. You go to the doctor. What happens when you go to the doctor? You ever go in there like, I got a kink in my neck right now. If I went to the doctor, you know what the doctor would do? He'd poke around on that thing. You know how they do? They push and poke on you. And when they get to the sore spot, you jump, it hurts. Don't it? It hurts. See, that's what happens when you preach on tithing. When you preach on tithing and it hurts, you done got to the sore spot. There's only one group of people that don't like preaching on tithing, and it's the people that don't tithe. That's right. But listen, I'm just giving you what is God's plan. Listen, we go back to that verse in chapter Luke. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given. Try it. You'll like it. Now, some people don't tithe because they don't understand what tithing is. As I said, you know, before, after taxes. Never, and I don't care what it is, money, time, talent. We're not to give God our leftovers. We're not to give God our leftover time. We're not to give God our leftover money. Our tithe, you know, it's not 10% after the government gets there. The government don't come for God. Huh? God comes first. You give the government what's left over. And then it goes that way. So we always do that. You know, some people think this. Some people think, well, you know what, preacher? If you preach on tithing and you say, well, I got, you know, isn't that kind of legalistic? All right, well, let me ask you this. Say you work for somebody, and on Friday when you got your paycheck, it was $20 short. And you went to the boss and said, hey, you shorted me $20. What if the boss said, well, ain't you being kind of legalistic? Aren't you being legalistic? You're just $20, right? It's a different story then, right? Hey, we got to give God what belongs to God. If you work, you want what's coming to you. If you're going to give God what comes to God. Listen, God cares about our giving. God cares about what we give. That's why he gave us, there's lots more instructions. I didn't exhaust the Bible by any means or stretch of imagination. I haven't exhausted the Bible on what it says about giving. God mentioned it for a purpose because he wants it. And listen, I remember a guy one time, he was a lost fellow. I was working with him and we started talking about giving. You know, at church, he said, well, listen, I don't know why you got to give it. You know, because he was trying to use like the reverse psychology or reverse art. Well, if it's all God's, why do you got to give to God? I said, because God just wants to see if you'll do it. God wants to see it is all God. It's all God's. And God says, listen, you keep 90, I'm going to keep 10. I'll work that deal with you any day of the week. Go ahead. Huh? Just give me 90, I'll give you 10. You know, that's a real good deal. That's a real good deal. And God said, listen, that's what I'll do. So number one, God cares about our giving. The second thing is that God cares about how we give. Look what it said in our text in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. He beheld, it says in verse 41, he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Get that? The emphasis here is going to be on how. We see that he observed how them throwing the money in. And it says here he beheld how people cast money into the treasury. See, we can suffer from the pride of living and we can suffer from the pride of giving. And when it comes to giving, attitude makes all the difference. It makes a difference to God. Now, you know, right now it's tax time of the year and you got to get all that straightened out. The IRS don't care about your attitude. You can be mad, you can be sad, you can be glad. It doesn't matter how. They just want the bottom line. They want the money, but not with God. God cares about your attitude when it comes to giving. It says, look here, we're going to go look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll give you a second to get over there. And we're going to, you might want to stuff something in that section because we're going to back up and look at something else in verse 8 here in a little bit. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says this, but I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give. Look here. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, this would be a great right here when it comes down to be something like a love offering, because we talk, there's tithes and there's offerings. And I like to describe it this way. Tithes is what you owe God. Offerings is what you give and above in excess. And that's what he's talking about there. And he says this, if we looked at it like a love offering, he says, listen, don't do it grudgingly, like where it hurts. You know, if you got a problem with it, God said, listen, don't give grudgingly. You know, well, all right, I'm going to go ahead. You know, we're taking up a love offering again. Good night. Every time you turn around, we're taking up a love offering. I'm going to put something in there. Let me fold that dollar up 900 times. Throw that thing in. That's why it takes them so long counting money. It takes them 3 days to get the dollars all straightened out. Huh? And then it says, look what else it says. It says, not grudgingly. It says, or of necessity. It says, don't feel like you got to do it. You don't have to do it. God's just saying, listen, that's why I like to do, when we do love offerings, listen, that's what it's called a love offering. You know, if you don't love God, don't do it. If you don't love the people that were taking up an offering for, don't do it. He said, not of necessity. Don't feel like you have to do it. Just because everybody else is doing it, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Because if you do it, God doesn't like it. Start with. He said what? He loves a cheerful giver. That's where you're happy to do it. Where you're happy to throw something in. That's just happy that you can further the cause. And you're happy that you can, help with, you know, expand God's kingdom or whatever the things may be taken up. It says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And so, there's some key things there. The giving that impresses God also is giving that cost us. Back in our original text, we see there it says, as Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much, which is good. But there came a certain poor widow. A certain poor widow. That word poor means that it was she was in poverty, that she was a pauper. As a matter of fact, the word's used, it's such a strong word in the Greek that it means that she was in real danger of imminent starvation. A real danger of imminent starvation. And she put in two mites. That was the smallest coins of the day. They said that a mite was worth 5 minutes labor at the minimum wage rate. 5 minutes labor at the minimum wage rate. Now, minimum wage, you know, man, these people today, man, minimum wage is, it isn't that bad. Man, when I came along, like, minimum wage was $1.50. And I imagine way back then, minimum wage was pretty, I think some guys went out and worked in the field. Didn't he give them, what was those guys in the parable about the orchard? They went out and they got a penny? They got a penny. They go out there and work in the orchard all day long, a vineyard. A penny. So a mite is smaller than a penny. 5 minutes, 5 minutes labor at minimum wage. That's what one mite was. She threw 10 minutes worth of minimum wage at labor at minimum wage. And look here, that's all she had. She cast in all that she had. Now, and Jesus said this about it. He observed it and he said, you know what? He says, she put in more than all. Not in the amount that... She didn't put in more in amount. She put in more in personal sacrifice than all the rest. That's what he's telling her. She put in more. She sacrificed more than everybody else. She put in all she had. Those other people that put in the treasury only put in out of their abundance. And she put in all she had out of everything, more personal sacrifice. There's a story in the Bible where David wanted to build an altar and he wanted to have a sacrifice, and a man named Araunah had a threshing floor, and he said, listen, I'm going to give you the whole threshing floor. I'm going to give you the oxen that you can sacrifice. You can take all the wood from the threshing floor. You can build your altar. You can take them oxen. You can sacrifice them. I'm going to give them to you for free. And David said, nuh-uh. He said, I'm going to give you the money. He said, because I'm not going to offer to God that which cost me nothing. He said, I'm not going to offer a single thing to God that cost me nothing. Which is what we do when we give out of our surplus, or when we give the leftovers to God. C.S. Lewis wrote this. He said, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I am afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. There ought to be a thing which we should like to do and cannot because our charitable expenditures excludes them. So we see that God cares not only that we give, you know, God cares how we give. And then here, the last little point, God cares how much we give. Jesus, in our original text, Jesus saw, he sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. He saw that. He saw that they cast in a lot. And he also saw the widow, he had to be observing pretty close. And they say the way they did the offerings in the temple was they had some brass things, I think, that came up. They kind of had a round top and a little opening in the top, and they had some of them set around in different places, and people came in and they put their offering in there is how they did it. But Jesus was observing not only people putting the money in, he was observing how, your facial expressions can tell a lot. There's some people, now some people, you can't read them, you don't know what they're thinking. Those people scare me. I mean, you just never know. They got that dead stare. You don't know if they're happy. I'm laughing way down in here. You never know. And then there's some people, if they're sad, you know it. If they're happy, you know it. If they're mad, you know it. I mean, you just look at their face and say, uh-oh, he looked at their faces. He saw how they gave, whether they were giving cheerfully, whether they were giving grudgingly, whether they were giving, to impress somebody else, and where they were trying to impress the people. I always think about Ananias and Sapphira. Hey, listen, they came and they wanted, this was a case where they didn't have to give a thing. It wasn't a tithe, it was an offering. Somebody had given an offering and the church had kind of built the person up, not that the person wanted it. I think it was Barnabas. He had sold some land and he gave the money to the church and he wasn't looking for accolades, but he got some. And you know what happens? People get jealous. People got jealous and they said, and Ananias and Sapphira, they saw that. And so what they did was they sold some land and they took the money and they gave it to the church and they made a big deal out of it. They made a show of it. And some of the people thought that they gave it all. Now, whether they flat out lied about it, I don't know. But whether they sure didn't deny or they let people believe that they gave all of it. And they didn't have to give any of it. And they could have only gave part of it. They didn't have to give any. They could have gave part. But it said that the way it's written in the Bible, that they kind of led people to believe they gave everything. And Peter and them walked in and said, guess what? You have lied to the Holy Ghost. Sapphire bit the dust right there. Okay. I mean, man, listen. And I hear somebody now. I've heard more messages on church discipline. And Brother Covington got on the radio first thing right off the bat this morning. He said, one of the hardest things, most untasteful thing that you have to do in ministry is church discipline. I think he preached on Aiken and church discipline. I hear somebody now saying, well, preacher, where's the love? Where's the love? And I Sapphira laying there dead. A little while later, an hour or so later, Ananias comes in. God killed him. Where's the love? Let me ask you this. Where's the love for God? Huh? Where's the love for God? Huh? Where is the love for holiness? Where is the love for purity? Where's that love at? Tell you what, back in them days, they had a pure church. Amen. They had a holy church back in them days. Boy, we by the grace of God, thank God. Well, I don't know, and I don't know this is true. I'm going to say God's not killing people in such a dramatic way, but I'm not sure that God's not checking people out. We just think, they died of cancer. Well, maybe God killed them. I don't know. But I'm just saying that it's God cared about the attitude in that sense, and he observed what people gave. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, when it comes to our giving, God sees more than the portion. He sees the proportion. Men see what's given. God sees what's left. Ooh, huh? Men see what's given and God sees what's left. See, you take a rich man, and we see people all the time. It's amazing the kind of salaries that people make in the world today. I mean, you hear about these amazing, big, I mean, they're making these salaries. Somebody that's making $1 million a month. they can throw $100,000 in the treasury and it's nothing. It's nothing, you know, to them to do that. And it's good, you know, it's fine, but it's not anything. Jesus saw it. It's not just the portion, it's the proportion. And when in proportion, the widow gave more than all because she gave everything that she had. All she had. Jesus didn't say a word. He observed that the rich put in much, it said, but he didn't commend them. He didn't say, he didn't commend them or he didn't condemn them, but he didn't commend them as much. But he spoke about this widow and her two mites. And I would imagine, I got to thinking about that offering that was put in, two mites, 5 minutes labor at minimum wage. So 10 minutes labor, minimum wage. I'm just a guessing. This is reading between the lines. I don't know. But I would almost bet, not supposed to bet, that she put in the least amount in dollars, or amount, parts of dollars. She put the least amount of any one person all day, maybe ever, two mites. But Jesus commended her giving. She didn't know what Jesus said. No record of what happened to that woman. I got to thinking about it. I wonder what happened. It says, given it shall be given unto you. Pressed down without measure shall men give into your bosom. I would guarantee that she didn't starve to death.
Amen.
We don't hear any more about the widow. If we do, we don't know it because we don't know her name. But I would guarantee that God took care of that woman right there. I want to look at one other little overlooked text in the lesson in giving. And this one in particular involves the church, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I told you to hold your 2 Corinthians verse, but we were going back up. And look here in chapter 8. This is a great little study. I could probably do a whole lesson right here on this one thing. It says this. It says, moreover, brethren, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, I know, you know, we probably wouldn't write a letter in the same sentence structure today that they had written that. And you got to study that just a hair to get the meaning of what is talking about that. But we see the Macedonian churches. And guess what? The Apostle Paul had gone to the churches or sent letters to the churches that they would take up love offerings for a need somewhere else. That had to do with the persecuted churches and a collection for the poor. And he sent this letter out to the churches that they would could somehow take up a love offering of some sort. And we see the Macedonian church, they were in a great trial of affliction. And then it went on to say that they had deep poverty abounded. And it probably had to do with this. It probably had to do with the persecution of the Christian churches. And in those days, you could not, sometimes you couldn't conduct business if you were a Christian and they knew it. They would you kind of got shunned and you couldn't operate and you couldn't buy. They might not sell you anything. And so they wouldn't give you jobs and people probably lost their jobs. But it says here, when you look up the words, that word deep poverty, it means this: rock bottom destitution. Rock bottom destitution. I mean, that's pretty poor. The word describes a beggar who has absolutely nothing and no hope of getting anything. But it says that they gave. And the great thing here was that the circumstances didn't dictate their giving. Now, it might have dictated the amount somewhat, not the proportion. It might have dictated on the portion, but it didn't dictate on the proportion. They gave. And it says that they were in a great trial of affliction. They were in deep poverty, like a beggar that had nothing and no. But it says that they gave abundant out of their abundantly they gave. And you know, when you think about this, are the circumstances ever a reason not to give? They didn't think it was. And look in verse 4. It says, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift. They were so poor that the Apostle Paul didn't want to take it. He was saying, wait a minute, you guys got more of a need to keep the gift because we're taking up a collection for the poor. And guess what? You qualified. You already the poor. You are poor. And he said, but they said, they prayed. They begged. They begged Paul and said, listen, we want you to take it. You take this money because we want the joy of knowing that we're given to the cause. Man, wow. Now, you know God took note of that giving too because we got it recorded right here in the Bible. Man, I mean, they were so, they just said, listen, we don't care how poor we are. They said there's somebody worse, and we just want to get, we want to be included in giving. We want to be included. I don't think Paul wanted to take it. But when they said, listen, we are praying about it, with much entreaty, it said, I mean, they were persistent. You know how it is sometimes. Somebody says, well, here, you know, go ahead and take this money right here. Oh, you say, well, no, I don't want to take it. No, go ahead. Okay. You know, you go ahead and not a whole lot of persistence there, you know. Well, we'll go ahead and take it. But they said, listen, you know, Paul wasn't doing that. I mean, he was not wanting them to take their money. And you know, it's kind of opposite of some people's thoughts. I mean, how many people really are begging that an offering be taken up so that they can give to a cause? I mean, people begging to say, listen, no, we want to do it. We've got to do it. Let's do it. And they experience the grace of God. Look what even we see the word there. They had the abundance of their joy. How a great trial. It's kind of odd in verse 2. The sentence is so odd because it said a great trial of affliction. And then it says the abundance of their joy. And then it says in their deep poverty abounded. Unto the riches of their liberality. It's talking about being liberal with what they gave. So we had poverty and affliction and joy and abundance in the same sentence about the same people. Huh? Boy, that's amazing right there. That's the grace of God right there. And so they experienced that. Their giving was spontaneous. It wasn't pressured. Somebody said this, that grace opens the heart and the hand. Grace opens the heart and the hand. The giving was not cold, calculated, but it was warm-hearted jubilation. So I want us to think about this. The message isn't super long tonight, but God does care about our giving. He cares how we give. He does care how much we give. Listen, man, we can't outgive God, and we're not a pretty giving church. I understand that. I don't think the church as a whole tithes. Maybe everybody here on Sunday night, maybe you do tithe. But I don't think as a whole that the church tithes. But man, I think it's a blessing that we can give to the cause of Christ. You know, we have missionaries come. This is one of the things, like, I like to take a love offering up for missionaries, and I'll tell you why. Because a lot of missionaries, you know what, we're probably not going to take them on monthly support. But we can help them down the road. We can give them a place to stay. We can give them gas money. We can give them food. And they'll have and most of the time, the offering we give, it gives them enough left over to kind of get the ministry started when they get a little bit farther down the road. So we got part in that ministry, whether we do it on a monthly basis or not. It's a part of the ministry, and it gives us such an opportunity to help people down the road. Listen, never think you're going to outgive God. Amen. Press down, shaking. The same measure that you mete out, the same measure you give, God says, I'm going to give back. A lot of times I think some of the Christian folks' poverty has to do with that point very well right there. So remember this, that God cares about our giving, how much we give, and how we give. I mean, those are important things to God. The only one commended in the Bible that we know of by Jesus himself was a woman that gave only 2 mites, but she gave all she had. I doubt, seriously, that she starved to death. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed.